Well, this morning, we continue on in this sermon series in Jesus Over Everything. I was about to preach to you the same message that I preached last week because I clicked on the wrong one. I was like, that does not look like what I wrote this week. But we're looking at Jesus Over Everything. And today we're going to talk about being rooted and built up in Christ. And I saw this story this week as I was preparing about a farmer who went to town to purchase seeds for his farm. And as he was returning home, one of the squash seeds fell out onto the ground. And it happened to be that as it fell there on the ground, it was also near another seed. Okay, and so this place where you have two seeds laying there in the dirt, just a few feet from one another, but they're different. They lay in fertile soil, and they begin to take root. And after about a week or so, the squash seed started to show signs of growth. A plant had sprouted up, but the second seed had shown nothing. It still looked the same as the day that it laid there on the ground. And then after about 7 weeks, the squash plant began to show some fruit. It was producing something, and you look over at the second seed, and again, it looked like it was doing nothing at all. And 4 more weeks had come and gone, and the squash plant reached the end of its life. It had bared much fruit during that period of time, and the other seed started to grow just a little bit, very slowly. Now, if you fast forward years later, the squash plant had come and gone and been completely forgotten about. The fruit that it had bore was gone, and it had no remembrance in anybody's mind. But this other seed, which actually had been an acorn, had grown into a mighty oak tree. And when we consider this story, this parable, so to speak, with our faith, a lot of times people want to be like the squash. We want everything right here, right now. Let me get it. Let me do something. Move through me quickly. In contrast to the oak tree, which was planted and rooted for life. And we see this a lot of times in the church when people get saved, when they come to know Jesus, when they get to this place, they have a lot of excitement at the beginning. They do a lot of stuff. They're involved in everything. We that are seasoned in the church like to call this the honeymoon phase, right? Like a real honeymoon, right? At the beginning, everything's really exciting and fresh and new and all this stuff is different. But what happens is when the newness begins to wear off, sometimes that begins to fizzle out. We see this in the church a lot because we like to be like that squash plant. We want to produce something. We want to see something right now and have all this big change. But it's really important to know what your roots look like. And so today we're going to look at that being rooted and built up in Christ. And we're almost exclusively going to be in these two verses today, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. So you probably can just leave that up, Ashley, besides the, I think, one other verse that I have. It says this, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." When we consider a verse like this, I'm not a big fan of just picking a verse out of the Bible and really hinging everything that you believe on it without reading it in context. I'm just going to tell you that's where a lot of cults come from, because they read part of the scripture and by itself it may seem to be something else. So when we think about these couple of verses, we really need to think about the context of these verses. What does it say around them? It starts with, "as you therefore," or other translations start with "therefore." And when you see a "therefore," you guys probably know the saying, you got to think, what is it there for? Why is it saying that to me? What is the context to this? Well, back in verse 4, Paul had talked about us not letting anyone deceive us with persuasive words. Don't let anybody talk you into believing something other than what God's word says. And a little bit later in verse 8 that we'll get into next week, he tells us to beware that anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So when we see what's before it and what's after it, the context of these verses here is to help us see the truth and not buy into and believe the lies of the world that are trying to turn our eyes away from the gospel of Christ. That's what this is there for, to help us know the truth and not be deceived. So he said, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. How you guys like to receive stuff? Anybody like to receive stuff? I like to receive stuff. If you want to give me something, I'll take it. If it's good, I'll keep it. If not, I'll take it to Silk Purse. Right? That some of you guys don't think I'm very funny. All right? Mark does. Mark and Marissa are the two people that pretty much laugh at about anything that I say, so I can count on that. But when we receive something, it's usually a good thing, right? I mean, most of the time, except for when I received whippings, you know, when I was a kid, you know, that was really a good thing now that I look at it. At the time, I didn't think so, but when you receive something, it's usually pretty good, but it's also usually pretty passive, right? You don't do a lot. You just sit there and receive. You just get it. You accept what you've been given. But while you may often be passive in receiving, the person who's giving is active, right? They're doing something. They're handing you something. They're drawing back the switch or whatever it is. They're giving you something. They're active. They're taking the action that allows you to receive. And he says, you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, if you've done that, you are the receiver. You just accepted what was given to you. That tells us some things that are pretty important. It tells us that we didn't earn it. We just received it. We didn't work for it. We just received it. We didn't deserve it. We just receive it. Why do we receive it? And it's simply just because he loves us. He, Jesus, by the Spirit, is actively in pursuit of you. You just have to accept it. You just have to accept it. And if you're like me, you spend a lot of your life running from that. Instead of stopping to accept it, you run and you run and you run. At some point, you'll break down and you'll say, you know what? I'm ready to receive what God has for me. But when you receive Christ Jesus, remember you haven't done anything. You just accept it. But I want to tell you another thing about this that's important. Paul's not just talking about receiving just anything. He's specific in what he says you have received. Christ Jesus the Lord. And I love reading Paul's letters, because if you don't like a lot of words, Paul's letters can be kind of confusing because he's very wordy in the way he writes things. But I believe Paul writes like this because he's very intentional about everything that he had written. I don't know about you, but when I pray or when I talk about Jesus, I have never said Christ Jesus the Lord. That phrase, when I read this scripture, I'm like, that stands out to me because of all the things that I may reference Jesus with. I've never said it like that, Christ Jesus the Lord. I may say Lord Jesus. I may say Jesus the Christ. I may say Jesus the Lord, Christ the Lord, all these different things. But why Christ Jesus the Lord? It has deep meaning. Paul's trying to express something here that's very important to the context of this verse. The fact that we should not be deceived and we shouldn't be tricked into believing something otherwise. He's trying to draw our attention to who Jesus is, Christ Jesus the Lord. Some of you, this is going to be shocking, but Christ is not Jesus' last name, right? I mean, that there really was a point in my life where I was like, huh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. You just say it together. You just kind of assume maybe that's what it is. But what does Christ mean? It has a specific meaning. It means anointed one. If you don't know what anointed means, basically chosen. That he is the chosen one. Jesus is the Messiah, the one who was sent to save, and the one that the world had been waiting for. Right? The Jewish people knew that there was a Redeemer that was coming, and they were looking for him. Yet they didn't see him. But they were looking for him, and he was doing all of these things that were amazing, miraculous, pointing to the fact that he was the anointed one, right? He turned water into wine. He walked on water. He multiplied food to feed thousands. We see him cast out demons. We see him heal the sick. All those things everybody was cool with. Even the religious people, they were totally fine with Jesus doing most all of that stuff except for this last one. We saw Jesus forgive sins. They did not like that. Why? Because that was a surefire sign that he was the anointed one, that he was the Christ, the only one that had the authority to forgive sins. Then we also see that he's referred to as Jesus. And when we think about the fact that he is Jesus, right, we think of this historical man. There are books outside of the Bible written about him and his existence that he truly was a man who lived and walked on this earth like you and me. It's not some fairy tale. There are historical writings that say he existed. We know that this man was born of a virgin, that he grew up, that he worked with his hands as a carpenter. We know that he knew temptation like we know temptation. We know that he had to persevere through trials and through attacks upon his life. And we know that he, as a man, even had victory. This man, he did normal things that man does. Right? He dined with people. How many of you guys like to dine with people? Hallelujah. It's one of my favorite things to do is eat, probably besides sleep. Like, I don't know, it's a toss-up. I like to eat, then sleep, actually, is my preferred method. But he dined with people. He did normal stuff, right? He napped on a boat. Again, back to the sleeping. Like, I love naps. I don't know if I could nap on a boat, but I'd sure try. I like to eat. I like to sleep. I like to do the things that Jesus did. They're normal things. He wore sandals on his feet like everybody else did to protect. He didn't have some supernatural feet, right? They wore sandals to protect their feet. He did that. We're talking about a man whose blood is red like yours and mine, right? He had natural body. This man, Jesus, who we now know is a great high priest, right? In Hebrews, it tells us that he's the great high priest, that he knows what we've been through. He can relate to our human condition because he lived a perfect, sinless life, only to end it in torture and crucifixion and die on that cross. That's Jesus as a man. But then we have this third term that Paul throws in there, and he says the Lord. Christ Jesus the Lord, not just the anointed one, not just the man who did mighty things, but he says the Lord. See, we can recognize Jesus as those first two parts, and a lot of people do recognize him as a savior. They recognize him as a man, but the stumbling block is often right here as the Lord. Do you know in the scriptures that even demons recognized him as the Christ and as a man, but they didn't recognize him as the Lord? And this is the difference maker, church. We have to affirm his lordship in our life. Paul says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Have you received the Christ? Have you received Jesus? A lot of us can say yes to those, but have we received him as the Lord? This means submitting to him in all things. I don't know about you, but that's the hardest thing to do in my life, is to submit my life in all ways, all things to someone else. As good as he is, as great as he is, as well as he treats me, it's still hard for me to submit all of my ways to Jesus. But when we do submit all of our ways to him, it affects everything. See, that's why we need to do it. It's not just we're to be robots and surrender all because he wants to control everything. When we submit our ways to his way, it affects what we do. It affects how we talk. It affects how we love. It affects how we live. It affects how we work, how we play, how we prioritize, all of these things. And when we ask the Lord to be Lord over our life, it requires us to submit every desire, every plan, and every hope for our future to Christ. But in submitting that to him, it also puts us in this place of trusting him to write the best story for our life that could be written. See, when you submit your plans to somebody, you know that they could use part of those plans. I think that's the thing that we forget about submitting to Christ. He doesn't necessarily throw out everything in our life, but I'll tell you what, he'll sure change what's not good for us. That's the important piece. You know what? I never, ever had plans to preach. I didn't even like when I had to do exhortations on Saturday nights years ago. I'm like, do we have an option of opting out of the exhortation rotation? I don't want to get up there and talk for 5 minutes. I never had a desire to do it. But there was a point where I was like, you know what? It says to submit all things. I'm going to submit all things. And who knew where that path would lead me? But I'm going to tell you what, I believe that God may have took my plans and changed my plans, but I'll tell you what, I'm way more satisfied and fulfilled in my life right now than I ever was before. Ever. Now, there's plenty of my plans that are still working. There's plenty of the things that I wanted to do with my life that God's still working in and allowing me to do. They just look different because it's in constant submission to him. Lord, what do you want? What do you desire for me? The Lord Jesus, the one who was raised from the dead. It's in him that we receive life. I think that we often mistake life for I have a pulse. That's not life. I'm talking about living, having life that's after this one. I'm talking about having a life that's fulfilling. Those things are found in Christ Jesus. And so when Paul says something like Christ Jesus the Lord, it's really a theological statement. It's really about that you've got to receive him for all that he is. You've got to receive him for all that he is. And so he says that as you have received him, in the manner that you've received him, how you've received him, right? You got to receive all of him, not just cherry picking the parts of Christ that you want. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard not to just receive the parts that we want, the parts that are beneficial to us, like I talked about last week with suffering. It's a promise, but it's not one of those promises we speak over each other. You will suffer for the Lord. I start praying that over people at the altar, you're going to quit coming, right? I don't want to come down and receive suffering, but listen, we've got to receive all that God has for us. But it says, as you have received him, Paul said, so walk in him. In the manner you've received him, so walk in him. Church, you can only walk in Christ to the measure that you've received him. And this is where that breakdown comes, because if you've only received him as the Christ, you've only received him as the one who came to save, and if that's it, if that's where it's cut off for you, and you haven't received the rest of who he is, you walk around with this life that you think you're saved, but you're actually not really sure. Well, why are you not really sure? Because you haven't received the fullness of who he is. The assurance of your salvation comes by the Spirit of God working in our lives when we get to the point where we receive him as Lord, right? It's a furthering of that relationship. So if that's all you've received, then that's all that you can walk in. You may be free from that penalty of sin, that spiritual death one day, but can I get a witness this morning that there's more to life than just being forgiven? Right? There's more than just being forgiven. If you receive him as Jesus, the man, you may be able to believe that he can relate to what you're going through. I know what he went through. I know he endured. I know that he overcame. That's great. That's good. That may lead you a little step closer because now you believe you can talk to him about what you're going through. Right? You guys got anybody like that in your life where I can talk to this person because I know that they've been where I've been? It's part of what I love about the Minister Alliance in St. Elmo is we get together and we talk about life and what we're going through with other ministers who know what we're going through. Right? It's easier to talk to them than to talk to somebody who hasn't been in that position because they don't really know. They think they do, but they can't really relate because they haven't bared all the same pressure and all the same responsibilities. And so it's so fruitful to be in a position where you're talking to people who can relate to you. But if you've received Jesus the man, if you receive what the scriptures say about him, about the things that he's done and overcome, that's a good thing. And when you pair that with Jesus the Christ, it's that I can be free of the penalty of sins, but now I also can communicate with him because I believe that he understands. And so that's a good thing, but when you receive him as Lord, church, this is the place where we find freedom. This is the place where we find victory. This is the place where we think, you know what, if this isn't all working out, you know what, it wasn't my plan anyway. We at least got somebody to rely on that, Lord, okay, show me what is next. We sang that song earlier, Spirit, lead me. It's one of my favorite songs just because of the message of it is so crucial to the Christian walk that you be led by the Spirit instead of just doing what you want and hoping it works out in the end. It's important, church. And if you're not at that place of knowing Jesus as Lord, if you're not to that place of being free and victorious, it's time to evaluate to what measure have you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Have you received him in the fullness? Because you can only walk in Christ to the measure that you have received him. To walk in Christ. We think about this term, to walk in him. What does this look like? It simply just means to live a life that is patterned after his. It has to do with our daily conduct, how we live. So how do we do this? It's great to know what you should do, but it's even better to know how to do it. Amen? Nobody wants to. All right. Peace out. Figure it out on your own. We've got to be rooted. That's what the scripture tells us. It's not just that you got to know that stuff, but it says there's something important that's paired with that. And Paul says, you've got to be rooted. Roots benefit one thing, you. Your roots only benefit you. They don't benefit anyone else. No one else sees them. No one else knows what they're like. But this is how you receive the greater measure of Christ Jesus the Lord. It's by being rooted. And this is the one other verse we're going to go to today. It's in Jeremiah chapter 17. Gives a great example of this. He tells us, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will he cease from yielding fruit. That's a tree that's planted by the river. That not only does it not shrink to the fear of the heat that's coming. Not only will its leaf be green, but it will not be anxious when there's drought. I mean, you guys experienced a drought in your life, right? You won't be anxious in the drought if you're planted near the water, but you also will not cease from yielding fruit. There won't be a point in your life, as long as you're planted by the water, that you're not producing something good in Christ. So when we think about these roots, what's the importance of roots? They really have two functions. And the first one is great. The roots produce, they provide these nutrients to the tree. Roots act like a straw as they draw up water and they draw up that food and the nutrients that a tree needs. And so when you think about that in the context of our spiritual life, we're supposed to be rooted in Christ. If you trust in the Lord, if you hope in the Lord, it says that you're like a tree planted by waters with your roots by the river. Tree planted by the waters. I'm not talking about being rained on one time. How many of you guys have had one of those rained on experiences? Man, I felt the presence of God, some powerful move, something big happened in my life. And if that's it, if that's all that it was, the very next day, everything's pretty much returned to normal. If not the next day, probably soon to come. You just got that one fresh shower. We're not talking about a matter of salvation here. We're talking about roots being constantly drawing from the water that you need. We're talking about spiritual nourishment, right? To be nourished, to be continually growing in the Spirit of God. And the problem for us is that for many of us, instead of being planted by the river, we're planted by a leaky septic tank, right? And so when we think about being by a leaky septic tank, I'm going to give you what you'll only get here at Connection Church. Instead of having good, nourishing water, what you got soaking up into your roots is turd water. That's not good. It may look the same. It may appear to be the same type of water coming through the same type of soil. This turd water represents what life has to offer outside of Christ. It looks good. It seems fine. It seems normal. But do you know what is in the septic tank? Turds. Yes, very good. I have a good pupil over here. But moreover, what are those? Why are they there? It's stuff that the body couldn't use. It's stuff the body couldn't use. Stuff the body said, I don't need this stuff. I don't know why you put this in here. I took what's good out of it, and the rest of it I flushed down the toilet. I'm going to tell you, your body cannot be sustained by impurities. It has to be good nutrients, things that fuel it, things that it needs, and your soul can't be sustained by the junk of this world. Your soul cannot be sustained by self-help books and by whatever movement is going on or whatever type of people you hang out with. Those things cannot sustain your soul. We all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. We need his Spirit, and this is the only way that we can truly be nourished, and it's the only way that we can grow and be healthy, our roots in Christ. The second purpose that provides that the roots provide is they provide stability to the tree. I'm not going to have anybody raise any hands, but how many of you guys are a little unstable, right? And you're like, I could use a little stability in my life. James talks about that as, you know, thinking one thing and then thinking the other and doubting and having faith and hope and having doubt again. And he says that it's like being tossed to and fro. And he says that a person that's like that will receive nothing from the Lord. Why? Because your devotion is divided. You're not stable. It says that he's unstable in all of his ways. Without roots, a tree won't stand. It's to support the tree to ensure it doesn't fall over in the lightest breeze. There are times in our lives when a person may look like a solid tree. To you and me, we look around, we're like, wow, that person really looks like they've got it all together. They've really got things figured out in their life, look at them. And a lot of times when you see somebody like that, they've never actually been through much of a storm. They've never actually encountered much. It just seems like most things in life have just gone their way and have gone well. And when somebody is like that, their roots are not very deep, nor are they spread out very far. And really deep down, they are fragile. And when a storm comes, they fall apart. They can't stand. This is why we've got to be rooted in Christ. We've got to be rooted so we can gain that nourishment, but also so that we can stand in the midst of the storm. That we can stand no matter what. We have these two trees over here in front of the parsonage. If you've never noticed them, you'll notice one is big, one is little. They are planted at the same time. And that one that's on the south, like for years I've thought, that tree, there's going to be a day it's not going to make it. It does not look good. It doesn't look healthy, but it keeps having green leaves. They keep falling off. I don't know what is going on with that thing, but I'll tell you what. If you've ever been out here on a windy day, which is literally every day, if you've ever been walking around outside out here, you realize how windy it is. That thing's got to at least have healthy roots. The trunk on it looks like it's, you know, maybe should be hospitalized, but the roots must be healthy because I've seen that thing like, I mean, almost laying down, touching the ground, and it's still in the ground. It's stable, right? We've got to have deep, spread out roots so that we can stand in the times of the storm. Our roots have got to be in Him. I'm going to tell you this morning. This is important that we all grasp this. Our roots have got to be in Jesus, not in a pastor. Somebody say hallelujah, right? Not in a spouse, not in a friend. Our roots have to be in Him. All those other people are subject to the same storms, and they too need to be rooted in Christ, or they're probably not going to be much help whenever it starts to hit the fan, right? And so we've got to be rooted in Him. If your roots aren't in Him, you won't walk in Him, right? If your roots are not in Christ, you won't walk in Christ. You won't act like Him. Your conduct won't mirror what His was like. You'll walk in whatever it is that you're getting your nourishment from. And you can see this in people's lives. You'll walk in whatever kind of things you're getting your nourishment from. That doesn't mean that it's good. But it's what'll fuel you. It's what you'll begin to look like. You'll walk in whatever it is that you turn to when those storms start to come and hit your life. And if it's not Jesus, I'm going to tell you, you won't survive in the end, and you won't stand. Roots are important. And they're appropriate for the growth that you have made. I'll tell you what, when we see someone who's really godly, when we look at a person, we're like, man, that person, I wish I had the relationship with Jesus that they have. I wish I could look at my life and say I'm in the same kind of place of what they're in. I'm going to tell you, the reason that they're in the place that they're in is because of their roots. It's because of all the background work, all the things that they have done, all the things that they have been through that nobody else has seen. It's the time that they spend reading the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, there's no substitute for that. I've been trying to learn guitar, and I'm going to tell you what, it's hard. And the only way I've seen any kind of improvement is I've been playing literally every single day. If I miss one or two days, I feel like I took 10 steps back. And I'm practicing every single day. And I really had this thought the other day. I was like, and I read the Word every day, but I was like, man, I haven't put this much effort into reading the Word. I haven't been this committed to it. Like, man, I'm not going to survive if I don't read it today. But I'm going to tell you what, when we get to that place of like, I've got to read the Word. I need to hear what God has to say to me today. That's the place and that's the time where roots start to grow deep and start to spread out. It's times in prayer. It's times in worship. That these periods in people's lives is what provides the nourishment that we need to grow spiritually. You want to be a man of God? I'm going to tell you, you need to read the word, you need to pray, you need to worship. That's where it's at. There's no quick pill you can take that gets you there. You can get around godly people, but I'm going to tell you what, they'll help you and aid you in that because they'll help you stand in the storm, but the only way you get the nourishment is to dig in yourselves. When we think about these men, these women who we say, man, they're godly people, I wish I could be like them. I'm going to tell you what, it's the time that they spent standing firm in the midst of the storms that they're in their life. The times that they stood firm in the things that the world threw against them and that they held tight to Jesus. And they're like, you know what? I got nothing else, but I'm going to hold on to Jesus. And it strengthened their roots and they stood through it all and they'll stand through the next thing too. Why? Because their roots have grown deep and they've grown wide. So what are we rooted in? What is the thing in our life that we're rooted in? When it comes back to it, what do we rely on for nourishment? What do we rely on when we're in times of need and in trouble? Because that is what will affect the way that you walk your life. Rooted in Christ. He tells us if we're rooted in Christ, then we'll be built up and established in the faith. This right here is all about the growth that comes from receiving Christ Jesus the Lord, walking in him, being rooted in him. What happens from that is we grow. Hallelujah. We'll begin to see some growth in our lives. There's nothing in your life that's more important than your spiritual growth. Nothing. There's a lot of times where I'm around people and they'll say, well, how big is your church? How many people come to your church? And I say, who cares? Like, I literally do not care. Of course I want the place to be packed. Of course I want us to be reaching more people with the good news and helping to equip and build them up. But what I care about way more than that, and you can ask some of our leaders who have been leaders for a long time, even when we went through some real struggles a few years ago, the elders talked about the most important thing is health. It's not numbers. It's not numerical growth, it's spiritual growth. I would rather have 10 people in here that are growing spiritually than 100 who just show up Sunday and they do nothing the rest of the week. I mean, we need to be growing. I'm growing. One of the things that Jan tells me, I've been pastoring for 9.5 years and I've heard from Jan Mason probably 20 times, man, I've really seen a lot of growth in you. And you know, the first couple times I was a little bit offended. I was kind of like, well, gee, thanks. Like, how bad was I? Because I'm not that good right now. You know, and the more she tells me that, the more I realize that that's a great thing if someone else sees spiritual growth in you. That means something. That means that the work that you've been putting in behind closed doors is paying off. Not that we do it to be seen, but I'm going to tell you what. That's what we hope people see in us as Christ. Amen? And so if someone tells you, man, you've really grown, there's some people in this room that I can say, man, I have really seen you grow over the last few years. Well, praise God for that. It's the most important thing we can grow in our lives. I thought you guys were just noticing when I grow out and I need bigger shirts. But praise God when we grow spiritually. That should be the goal for all of us. And if you think about people, you think about humans and how they grow, right? Babies grow fast. You guys all over there know that. They grow fast. It goes really quick. I was amazed when my kids were little and it was like, you know, you go from like newborn clothes, 0 to 3 to 3 to 6, 6 to 9, and you're like, man, I can't even keep this straight. I don't even know what's what. It's like they go through these clothes so fast as they grow. You grow fast as a baby. But I'm going to tell you what, one of the most important things about a baby growing fast is what they're being fed. Right? If they're getting the nourishment that they need, they will grow faster. right? If they're getting the nourishment that their body needs, they will grow quickly. You can literally almost see it taking place, right? You're like, holy cow, how did they grow so much in just a couple of days? Because they're receiving the nourishment that their body desires. And this is what a person is like in the spirit as well. When we see a new believer, if they're receiving the nutrients they need from Christ, they grow fast. They'll be like baby Tim when I had my triple chin, right? I grew really fast as a baby. I must have had some good food. But that's what our body needs and desires. But there's a point in a child's life where that growth begins to slow a little bit, right? And then there's a point where it begins to pick back up again, and you're like, my goodness, I remember buying Xander jeans, and it was like, you know, if my dad didn't cut them into jorts, you know, brand new jeans. Yes, I'm still bitter about that, okay? Because I had to hear about it, okay? But if he didn't cut them into jorts, then it was like, well, they don't fit the kid anyway. Like, we just bought new jeans and he grew 2 inches and now we need new jeans again. So you go through another growth spurt, and then what happens? Then it begins to slow down again, and then we begin to grow out instead of up. But we continue to grow a lot of times. But when you relate all of this healthy growth, the healthy part, not the out, the up, this healthy growth, what does it take at the end of the day? It takes time. It takes time. Growth, then strengthening. That's why it goes through cycles. There's growth, and then there's strengthening. And then there's more growth, and then there's more strengthening. For our body, our bones need to be strengthened. Our organs need to be strengthened. And when you convey that over to our spiritual life and our roots in Christ, listen, it's not that he can't handle it all at once, because he can. It's about us. We need to be deep in our relationship in him, and our roots need to spread out. We have a lot of growth, and then it seems like it's a little bit slow. That doesn't mean, well, God's not speaking to me like he did before, and I need to cut back, or maybe this isn't working for me, and I need to do something else. No, it means you need to dig in more. It means you need to press in more. It means you need to read like you've never read and pray like you've never prayed and worship like you've never worshiped, because your body is probably, your soul is probably going through a time of strengthening so that it can take the next step in growth yet again. We've got to let the Holy Spirit invade all the parts of our lives, and that takes time to do it in a healthy manner. And this brings us back to this place at the end of that verse. Paul said that there's something that this all leads us back to. It leads us back to abounding in thanksgiving. This right here, church, is a good measuring stick for your soul. Are you abounding in thanksgiving? How thankful are you? I was counseling somebody the other day, and I told them, I said, you know what, you've got to be thankful. You've got to learn to be thankful for the good things that you do have in your life, because if you get focused on the negative, you don't even see what's good. What are you thankful for? What do you have gratitude for? Not just for the good, but for everything. How many of you know it's easy to be thankful when things are good? Right? It's easy to be thankful when things are good. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm not just telling you you need to be more thankful. Like, it's just an action you need to take. I'm telling you that what Paul tells us is that it's a result, right? Thanksgiving is a result of a life that has received Christ Jesus the Lord for all that he is, and that's walking in him. One that's rooted and built up in the faith. And for you and me this morning, we have to ask that question. Do we want to just be squashed, that just for a season? We produce something quickly, but then it fades away and we die off. Or do we want to be like a mighty oak tree where that seed gets planted and it takes time, but it grows strong and is rooted and produces for the rest of our lives? We've got to ask ourselves that question today, because then it all comes back to, have we received Christ Jesus the Lord in his fullness for all that he is and all that he has for us. It's the most important thing that we do, whether you've made that declaration one time or 100 times. Listen, we have to declare him as Lord day by day by day. Each and every day we declare him as Lord. Each and every day we submit our plans and our thoughts and our desires and all these things to him and ask him to have his way with us. Would you stand with me? Father, we thank you and praise you today for your faithfulness. God, we thank you for your word and for this letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians. We thank you right now for Jesus over everything. That as we accept him as Christ, as we accept him as the man who walked this earth, and as we accept him as Lord over our lives, the one who was risen from the dead, who is victorious, Lord, that all of that is available to us. We pray today for those roots that would grow deep. We pray that today that you would show us what the work is that we need to put in to continue to grow those roots. Lord, will you give us a desire for your word? Will you move us to prayer by your spirit? Lord, will you teach us how to worship? Not like the person to our right or our left does it. Not like the person who's been walking with the Lord for 50 years does it. But Lord, how do you want me to do it? Will you reveal that to each and every one of us today? That today we would give you the reward of your suffering, that we would praise you for who you are. Lord, and today would be that day of growth in our lives. Lord, help us to see that growth. Help us to be that encourager that would point out that growth in someone else. Lord, we give all that we have and all that we are to you, and we ask you to have your way as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.